sequel to the shaking and quaking on Sunday night. Just a few additional thoughts when things begin to shake and quake. I would like to have you focus on one person in particular in our study who ought to be the theme and the focus of everything we engage in. There occurs to me in the first six verses a perfect observation that is expressed in the word I. Let me read the first six verses. Again, the theme or the way where we're heading is when things begin to shake and to quake. And just to sort of like to get you out in front of this, do you realize that there was a quaking at the cross? And there was a quaking at the tomb. Okay? All of that, of course, Jesus knew. Jesus knew. The great Creator knew that. Now, with that in mind, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Would you underline, circle, or otherwise make a mental note of the word me? Me, Jesus said. And keep in mind that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So there's a dynamic here that he's speaking from more than just theology. He's speaking from more than just theory. He's speaking from experience. When he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me." Then in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so," please note the first occurrence, "I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Verse 3, of course, presents the first of two instances of I am. Verse 4, "Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" To which Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father." And again, please underline or circle or make a mental note of the word me. Clearly the focus in these first six verses in this chapter where fear is to be addressed is Christ. Jesus is our focus. He is the great me, the great I am. And there are some tremendous assurances in here. Now, you think about his experience back in John chapter 12, verse 27, for example. These words were said by him. And you can check the context. It says, "My soul," said he, "is troubled." Clear, it was troubled also in the garden, hours before the crucifixion. Troubled. So he speaks from experience. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, Son of Man, in his divine humanity, knew by experience the fear. Now, I don't know about you, and I can only speak for me, but frankly, in all honesty, I can get a good scare on from time to time. Can you? Or do you live life from day to day fearlessly? I can get a good scare up. I can get a good scare up even when there's nothing to be scared about. I can imagine the proverbial communist behind every bush as I walk along the way. Nothing there. Sometimes not even a bush is there, but I can imagine something's there. I can get a scare up whenever I'm in a dark place and I hear a noise that I'm not familiar with. Oh, the imagination just goes nuts. What could that be? What was that? What was that hideous shriek? Didn't know what that animal was, you know. How close was that animal? Or when you're when you're walking out in the yard and within 5 or 10 feet of you, you hear the leaves crunching alongside of you in the tree line, and you're thinking, you know. So, I'm just as in the same boat as the rest of y'all. But I do know this. We have a hymn in our book. It says, Jesus knows all about our troubles, our trials, and our struggles. And the verse goes on to say, and He will guide us till the day is done. The day is done. You know when the day is done? At 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. in the morning. The day is done. If you haven't got a start by then, you're behind the eight ball. The day is done. The light comes up. Hey, the light comes on at or about that time of the day. I love the light. I don't like the dark. I'm not comfortable with the dark. I like lots of light. Summer's a great time of the year. You just have wall-to-wall light. And even when it's supposed to be dark, you still see the sun begging to stay up over the horizon. That's great. I said to you that there was a quaking at the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. In Matthew 28 and verse 2, there was an earthquake. Matter of fact, a great earthquake at the tomb. But then when I thought about that, I'm always amazed to some degree of all the seismologists and the evolutionary scientists whenever there is the rumblings of an earthquake, like there continues to be. Newsline today, I think I mentioned Sunday morning, there was a cluster of potential quakes spinning up just off the California coast, and it was a foreboding sign to those who study such things. And then, of course, today's headline was that there is seismic activity deeper than there has ever been recorded before in about the same spot. And when I read Matthew 28, verse 2, I find that in connection with the great earthquake that was there, the angel of the Lord came down and moved a stone. It does not say right out that the angel of the Lord was the causer of the earthquake. I'm just saying that, that if you check the ministry of angels, Old Testament and New Testament, there's some close proximity to natural, what we call natural phenomenon, and the presence and the activity of angels. Great earthquake. Going to be a great earthquake. Probably one that, like, has never happened before, according to what we read in the book of Revelation. Just do some spot checking somewhere around Revelation 11, 12, 13 and see if there's an angel in close proximity to the statements. The things that shake and quake are not things that happen at random, my point is. They just don't happen because that's just the way things are. They don't. You think about the truth of the matter that we read in the end of this chapter, verse 30. Hereafter, said Jesus, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. The prince of this world cometh. I think that when you and I understand that there is still an ongoing grapple between the prince of darkness and the prince of this world with the prince of light, that there is bound to be some shaking and quaking different places in the world simply because there's a struggle for control. When we think about that, we, however, as the children of God, in light of what Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, believe in me. So that we may boldly say, like for example in Hebrews 13 verse 6, we can say this boldly, with great boldness, that the Lord is my helper. Now that's none other than Christ. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. I will not fear. Now that's a That's a resolute statement, a determination on the part of a child of God walking by faith who understands the risks and the potentials of what men can do. I mean, you just look around from day to day and see what men do to each other. How many of you saw the picture online of these two children huddled together against a wall in Syria? Just after an airstrike, this little boy must be, oh, he couldn't be more than 2 years old. He's hunched over, crouched over, and he's got his littler sister's head cradled in his lap trying to protect her. What men do to each other. But I will not fear what man shall do to me. Reason being in Romans 8 verse 37, we know this, that we are more than conquerors through Him, Christ, that loved us. More than conquerors. Now think about that statement. To be a conqueror, that's something. Do you realize that soldiers from the highest ranking officers to the lowest ranking officers, oftentimes on their dress uniforms, have different badges and medals and things that speak to their accomplishment or their utility while in service? Just think about the conqueror, the tremendous respect that people give whenever they see where a person's been and what a person's done. And to realize that that person did that in the service of their country. For me, I'm part of the country. But to be called more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror, is really a grand expression, but it must be always tempered with the truth that it is through Him. Through Him. It is not by our might nor by our power, but by the Spirit at all times. Man can have nothing, according to John 3:27, unless it is given by God. As it is with salvation, so it is with any other thing. Salvation is by grace, has nothing to do with man's works, and so is everything downline from that, spiritually or morally. It is all of God. Why does one man have the strength to resist temptation and another man fall? Time after time after time, it is all of grace. All of grace. We also know that so as Paul expressed this in Acts chapter 20, as he said, so we, me, together, would echo this same thing when he told his audience there that about finishing his course with joy. He could do that because he came to this analysis about his life, and it framed in a mathematical or an accounting term. He was able to say that he wanted to finish his course, not counting my life dear to myself. When men count their lives more dear than any other thing, they tend not to take this particular attitude. But in Acts 20:24, he just said, it made the expression that he didn't count his life dear to himself, neither should we. So let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe in me. And it all comes back again to the scriptural classic definition of faith that's recorded in one place among many, Acts chapter 13:39, where we've been justified from all things, and keep in mind what the apostle Paul said when on that vessel in the midst of a stormy sea, I believe God that it shall be even as he said. And Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. Now, you believe that? Let not your heart be troubled. As a matter of fact, the battle will rage between the ears. With me it does. And I assume it would be with you. If there's anything there between your ears, there's a battle going to go on there. So the Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 2, he says, be not soon shaken in mind. Be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. The day of Christ is at hand. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Great promise in John chapter 16, verse number 22, from Jesus' own mouth. He says, and you now therefore have sorrow now. But here's the lifter up of your sorrow. But I will see you again. Do you need any other thing? Any other reason? I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I will not fear what man can do to me, and there is coming a day when no man will be able to take my joy from me. Right now, it's easy to take. Right now, the joy is easy to take. It can evaporate like that. As I said to you, I can get a scare up in a hurry. And I can be, you talk about, what's this psychology term? No, that's me sometimes too, but when you rise and you fall, you're here, you're there. I'm trying to think of the term.
Bipolar.
Hell yes, we got bipolar, says the psychiatrist. We don't even need to worry about that. But I can be hot, and then I can be cold. I can be happy, and I can be sad on a turn of a spin around on a dime. That quick. Somebody says, don't you take pills for that? You should see a doctor for that. Well, I suppose I should, but it'll have to wait another 10 years or so. I've been that way most of my life. Probably be that way when it comes to the end as well. So let not your heart be troubled. Our hope is in the great me. The focal point is the great I am in John 14, 1-6. Jesus said, I will see you again. And I believe that it will be just like he said. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great, great grace. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for an unceasing abundance of that poured out. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that that might, on the one hand, humble us and as well make us continuously grateful on a day-by-day basis, no matter what happens. We acknowledge, Lord, tonight that in our own church family, some people, some of our folks are struggling and suffering physically. And who's up for that at any time? And nobody wishes it to happen when things are not certain, when normal was hard to arrive at, when there is nothing but frustration and discomfort and perhaps even fright. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might come alongside as you promised you would and provide, Lord, a leaning post for us all the rest of our days where we at, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.